Praise the Lord. Amen. What a beautiful spirit in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's stand and turn, if you will, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19. Chapter 30 and verse number 19. Even though this is the 31st of July, so technically tonight is the last night of the month of July, we are going to go ahead and launch into our theme of August tonight. We're going to try to build a little bit of a foundation, and for Sunday, if the Lord is willing and will help us. What a powerful month we had, though, of July. Power in worship. And what a move of God this last Sunday. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19. I called heaven and earth to record this day against you. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And the last part of this verse is what our theme of the month of August is going to be based upon. Therefore, choose life. Look at your neighbor and tell him, choose life. That both you and your seed may live. Your choice of life is not only going to impact you, but it's going to impact your children, your family, your marriage, your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors, and the list goes on. So everybody shout, I choose life. And the month of August is going to be about the power of choice. The power of choice. And I know that we're always teaching and preaching, it seems like, on the bad choices, and we're going to touch on a few of those here tonight. But I want to tell us on launching this thing out here this evening that there is power in good choices. Hallelujah. We can direct our path in the Lord by making good choices, by making the right choice. Some of you may belong to a family that's made a lot of bad choices. Mom and dad and grandfather and grandma and maybe even great dad and great grandma. Maybe bad choices for generations, but I'm here to tell you, you can make some good choices tonight. And you can make some good choices in your life in the days to come. And according to this verse, you will break the curse. And you will bring blessings into your life. And you will curse death. And you will resurrect life. Oh, hallelujah. There's power in your choice. There is power in your choice. Hallelujah. And everybody say, Jesus, bless the preacher. Touch my ears to hear, my mind to understand, and my heart to receive. One more time to the Lord Jesus, will you? Father, we love you, we praise you, we adore you, we magnify you. Oh, God, energize this place tonight with your power. Father, infiltrate us, Lord, with your glory. Help us to make the right choices. Help us to choose right and bring life and blessings into our life and our seed. God bless you. You may be seated. One thing that we learn for sure when it comes to choices is that these choices affect more than just today. In fact, you will find that one of the most lingering things in your life is a choice. It just has a way of hanging around. It's got a way of being there tomorrow and being there the day after. The results, the residue of that choice that we made has a way of hanging around. In fact, we're going to start out tonight speaking about a choice that was made over 6,000 years ago. We're not even really sure how long ago this choice was made, but because we don't know how long they were in the garden, but one thing we do know, it was at least 6,000 years ago. And another thing that we know is that the result of that choice affects you and I even today. We look into the word of the Lord in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8. And what I want to do is look at some things that surround this choice made by Adam and by Eve. I want to look at a few variables that surround that. And hopefully through the word of God that we can reach into this and pull out some things that will help you and I make the right choices to come. I want to just start out by saying here tonight that the Lord has given you and I everything that we need to make the right choice. Praise God, praise God. Say, the wrong choice is a choice. That's right. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 8. Look at this. And the Lord God planted a garden. Everybody say, God planted a garden. Say, he provided, he protected Adam and Eve. He planted a garden east, the Bible says, eastward in Eden, and there he put man in whom he had formed. Verse number 9. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree. Say every tree. Say it's pleasant to the sight. Say it's good for food. So not only was the tree in which Adam and Eve chose to partake of, because if you'll remember, and we'll read the scripture in a moment, that the word of the Lord says that when Eve looked upon the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the Bible says she looked upon it and it was pleasant to the sight. And she saw it was good for food. Well, yes, it was, Eve, but so was every other tree in the garden. The Bible says that the Lord God, he caused to grow every tree that was what? Pleasant to the sight. Every tree that was what? Good for food. Even the tree of life was also in the middle of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so some of the very first things that we look at and we see here is that there always was and there always will be a choice. As long as you live on this earth, there will always be a choice. Why? Because the very definition of who you and I are demands that there be a choice. We are creatures of free will. God created us with the power of choice. We were made, the Bible says, in His image. We were created after the image of God. And in that creation was the power of choice. So what good would it have been to have been made, created like you and I were created, and for there not to be any choices at all to be made? So from the very beginning of time, there was a choice. Now, you and I, we like to gripe and complain about choice. I mean, personally, how much easier would it be to go to McDonald's if the only thing on the menu was a Big Mac? So that way, everybody that walked up to the counter already knew what they were going to order, and they didn't stand there like a doofo scratching their head at a menu they've looked at 150 times already, wondering what they're going to get today. If the only thing on the menu was a Big Mac, life would be a lot easier. And that would go for everything. Wouldn't it be nice if you went to the car dealership and there was only one car dealership? That's all that existed. You say, well, we wouldn't like that. If there was only one, you wouldn't know better. And what if the car dealer only made one car? And so everybody that went to the car dealership, you knew ahead of time exactly what car you were going to buy, because it's the only kind of car that's even made. And the guy selling you the car, he wouldn't be able to charge you more than he charges to the fella to the left or the right, because they're all the same car. And if he did, you deserve to get ripped off. And so life would be so much easier if there were not choices. But there are choices. In fact, the choices that have come about in this world today is a mirror image of how we were created in God's image. It shows you the power of the human mind. It shows you the power of choice. The very fact that we have the power of choice is what has created all of the choices in the world. And we're not satisfied yet. We still demand new choices. Every year, if they don't come out with a new iPhone, we think there's something wrong with the world. If there's not some kind of new gadget or something that we can choose from. So we are beings that are wrapped up in the power of choice. But it's this very power of choice that you and I complain about very often. In fact, we'll say to ourselves, well, I wouldn't have given in if I just wouldn't have had the choice. I wish there just wouldn't have been a choice to the right or to the left, or the good or the evil, and if there wouldn't have been a choice, maybe I would not have failed. But I'm here to tell you, Eve did not have to choose that tree. Look at the reason she chose. She said it was pleasant to the eye, it was good for food. Wait a minute, Eve. Every tree that God created in the garden was pleasant to the eye and good for food. So what are you saying, Pastor? What I'm telling you is, don't let that devil lie to you. If you'll quit being so narrow-visioned, the only thing Eve had her eyes on was that tree. Why? Because the devil had so got a hold of her mind and so focused her upon that one tree, led her by the hand, that the only thing that she could see was that one tree. If she would have just taken the time to look around, she'd have found out that tree was no prettier than the one over there that God said you could have. And that tree was no better than the one over there that God said you could have. So what are you trying to say, preacher? What I'm trying to tell you is that when we are tempted, when the lust of the eyes and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh begins to get a hold of us, and God begins, Satan begins to deal with your heart and deal with your mind and tempt you and try to lure you in, if we'll just stop and say, wait a minute, God planted a garden. God put a good tree in it. it that if I'll choose the right one, I'll be just as good. In fact, I'll be better off if I'll go God's way. So what we've got to do is we've got to stop and look around and say, okay, God, I've got this choice here, but I know it's not right. I know it's wrong. I know there's something wrong with it. Your word tells me it's not right. And so, God, I'm going to look around. If I'm being tempted with this, you have already provided something for me that is better if I wait. If I be patient, you'll plant a garden. You'll give me what I need. You'll provide for me, and I won't have to go the way of temptation. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Don't let that devil convince you that this is the only choice you have. Convince you that it is the best choice to make. When you know, because he has already spoken to you, he has already told you right from wrong. The word says his laws written across our heart. He has a way of speaking to us. And we know in the word of the Lord in verse 16, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden you can eat freely, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the days that you eat thereof you shall surely die. Adam had a knowledge prior to the choice of what was the right choice to make. He knew, choosing to partake of the fruit of that tree that his wife Eve handed to him while he was standing there with her. He knew that was wrong. Eve knew that was wrong. The Bible says Eve was deceived, but Adam, he disobeyed, because the commandment was given unto him. The word of the Lord tells us to do what? Study to show thyself approved. The Bible says that God no longer winks at ignorance, but commands every man to repent of their sins. We cannot say any longer, I did not know. It's not acceptable to God. The Lord has placed in you and I the very basic conscience that every human being has, which can allow them to detect right from wrong if they'll just take the time to listen to the voice of God. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 6 says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, did eat, and gave also to her husband who was with her, and he did eat. One of the things that begins to happen to us is that we allow our lust, we allow our emotions, we allow our desires to have a direct impact upon our choices. It's a reason why you should never make a choice when you're angry. You should never make a decision or a choice when there's bitterness in your heart, when there's envy in your spirit. You should never make a decision or make a choice when there's jealousy in your heart. Why? Because you're going to allow your emotions to affect your choice. And more chances than not, your choice is going to be wrong. Why? Because you're leaning on your own understanding. You're leaning on your own emotions. You're leaning on your own desires instead of waiting on God to calm the waters down. Then you make the right choice. How many of us men, we know how to open our mouths and say the wrong things at the wrong time for the wrong reason? How many of you got your head knocked off? Duck frying pans. Not me. My wife, she's so good. In fact, I'm so good, I don't think I've ever said anything wrong. Just kidding, Lord. Just kidding.
I'm not sure exactly when, Sister Carlene, but somewheres in my marriage, God was able to get my attention. Took a while. God and Elizabeth together actually kind of teamed up. And I have learned that 99% of what goes through my brain has no business coming out of my mouth. No business. And that if I'll just let it dance up there for a little while and keep Johnny shut, things will smooth back down and then emotions go away, which are controlling my thoughts at the moment. And when the emotions of whatever it may be, envy, strife, lust, anger, it doesn't matter what it is, when those things begin to go down, then all of a sudden I begin to think a little bit better. And one of the beautiful things about it is I begin to realize just how stupid that comment would have been. But at the moment it sounded really great. At the moment, it seemed like the right choice of words. It would really put her in her place. It'll really put him in his place. I'll just show them just how ignorant they really are. And at the moment, it seemed like the right choice, the right fruit to choose. But I was thinking through my own carnal emotions. And when things calm down, now I'm not leaning on my own understanding, but I'm leaning on the word of God. I realize how dumb that choice would have been. Now my words are different and the outcome is different. I'm here to tell you, God gives us everything we need to make the right choice the first time. If we will stop allowing our emotions to control the way we think and the things that we do. Proverbs 3:6 says, "In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil, and it shall be health to your navel and marrow under your bones." God said, lean not on your own thinking. Lean not on your own emotions. Lean on me. I'll help you make the right decision. I'll help you say the right thing. I'll direct your path. I'll be a light and a lamp to your feet and your path. And if you'll do it, you'll choose life instead of death. You'll choose blessings instead of curse. Look at verse number 7. And the eyes of them both were opened. They should have already been opened, because God had already given them everything they needed to make the right choice. And they knew that they were naked. So they sewed up their little fig leaves, put on her little mini skirt, and he put on his little skirt. Isn't it odd how clear your understanding becomes after you make the wrong decision? I hate the devil. I hate the devil. Say it again. Me too. I hate the devil. Thank you, Sister LaJess. I hate him because he walks in as the tempter. And when he's done tempting, he goes out and changes clothes and he comes back as the accuser. And you let him get all up in your mind and all up in your spirit. And he uses your own emotions to clog up your thinking. Nothing's clear.
At that moment, everything's gray. Nothing's black and white. He has a way of removing absolutes. He's trying to do it to the entire world. You know that, right? So that no one can define what is right or what is wrong. But everybody just sort of defines it for themselves. And then when they do something like rape or murder, then they want to throw them in prison. Well, you're the one that taught them that they could define their own right and wrong. They try to remove this. So the devil will walk in. Why is he doing that? He doesn't want you to be able to make the right choice. Because if everything remained clear, then you would be able to see which way to go. You would know that don't partake of this tree. This is the tree that God said, if you eat of it, you shall surely die. But look at all the other trees, Eve would say. They're all just as beautiful. They're all just as good for food. And I'm as wise as I'll ever need to be, as long as God is with me. So why do I need that tree of good and evil? But the clarity wasn't there. He got up in her mind and began to cloud up everything. She was confused and didn't really know which way to go or how to choose. And then he brings in her emotions and her lust and her desires, and all these things begin to work against her and in the favor of the adversary. And the next thing you know, she's partaking of the wrong fruit. But as soon as she bit the fruit, and as soon as Adam bit the fruit, all of a sudden everything became clear again. And she could so quickly see just how wrong her decision was. And they both realized that they were naked. And the Bible says they ran and hid and sewed together fig leaves and tried to hide their sin from God. And it's exactly what the devil does. He'll walk into your life and he'll cloud everything up. And you'll do things and say things and slowly make your way towards the tree. And he's got a way of making you feel like where you're standing now is safe when you used to feel unsafe over here. But he's got a way of making you feel safe no matter how close you get, until you're so close you get burned. And then once it happens, what does he do? He takes away the cloudiness and he brings in clarity. Why? Because with clarity, he can bring condemnation. So all of a sudden you're able to see everything clear again. And with the clarity of the wrong choice that you made, the devil's able to step into your life. And now he brings condemnation. Why? Because the devil's smart. He knows that even though you made the wrong decision, that if you turn and make your way towards God, God will help you to make the right decisions. And even though your own decisions may have a residual effect, by making right decisions, God can minimize the effect and begin to put you back on the right path. And so the devil wants to keep you away from God and away from mercy and away from his love. So he brings clarity, then he brings condemnation. Let's worship the Lord for just a moment here tonight. Let's give him praise. The eyes of both of them were open. Clarity comes. They can so clearly now see what they could not see before. Everyone in this building, from this pulpit, out in the vestibule, knows that all of us have stood in this position. When things weren't so clear, however they would have been if we just stayed away from the tree. If we'd have just stayed in the Word not lean to our own understanding, but to the understanding of God, His ways, His commands, His teachings, His trees. The ones He said, I made them all. I grew them to be pleasant to the eye. I grew them to be pleasant to the taste. You can have any of them. Seek you first the kingdom of God, He said, and I will add all of these things unto you. But for some reason, we get all clouded up and we start seeking our own kingdom, and God's kingdom is so far behind. And then when everything messes up, clarity, and we realize clarity comes back, and we ask ourselves, and we've all said this 100 times, how could I have ever been so stupid? Because now everything's so clear. I see my mistakes so plain. And then comes condemnation. But God's come to preach to this congregation tonight. There's power in choice. And no matter what kind of a decision you've made, you have the power tonight to stand up and decide in your heart, in your mind, and in your spirit, I will make the right choice from this point forward. I am not going to lean on my own mind. I am not going to lean on my own understanding. I am going to get in the Word of God. I am going to study to show myself approved. I am going to pray and seek the face of God. I am going to listen for the voice of God. I'm not going to wait till it's over. I'm going to do it now and let God begin to lead me down the right path, making right choices. Two things happened after they made the wrong choice. One of them, their eyes were opened. Clarity returned. Look at verse number 8. The very next thing that happened after they made the wrong choice was they heard the voice of the Lord God. They heard the voice of the Lord God. It would have helped if they would have took the time to listen before they made the choice. Because if you'll read the scripture, verse 8 wasn't the first time God talked. He talked several times prior to the choice. And He said, I have grown every tree in the garden to be pleasant to your eyes, to be good for food to your bodies. The next time He spoke, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do not partake of that. God spoke to them twice, but it's like they weren't listening. But now, after the choice, after the wrong choice, all of a sudden clarity comes, and all of a sudden they're able to hear the voice of God. It's something about it when we get caught with our hand in the cookie jar. There's just something about it. We so clearly see the wrong now. We so vividly hear the voice of God speaking into our life, telling us the right thing to do and the right path to go. And we're wondering why, how, in the middle of all of this, did we still make the wrong choice? But we did. But thank God for His mercy, and thank God for His love. And I'm here to tell the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, I'm here to tell every visitor, it doesn't matter where you find yourself right now, it doesn't
doesn't matter how deep of a dungeon, how dark of a cell that you find yourself in. It doesn't matter how much you feel your hands are tied. It doesn't matter how much bondage you feel you're in because of your choices. It doesn't matter how hopeless your tomorrows look because of your choices. I'm here to tell you there's power in your choice. And the Bible says if you'll choose life, if you'll choose blessings, God will rain upon you tonight. Oh yes, I'm here to tell you we can change it tonight. We can turn it around tonight. We can go in a different direction tonight by saying, God, I'm making the right choice. I know I may suffer some consequences, but I know if I make the right choice, you're going to bring me out. You're going to bring me up. You're going to bring me through. Ah, somebody loving. I don't know if you've ever made a wrong choice, but God brings hope tonight. God brings life tonight. God brings blessings tonight. There's a way that seems right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse number 21 says, "And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left, this is the way, walk you in it." God is here tonight to say to every one of us, if we would be willing to listen to Him before the choice, He's there talking. "I've raised other trees," He's saying. "I've made them pleasant to your eyes and good to your body for the marrow of your bone and for the strength of your spirit. I have raised these trees up for you." The voice will talk and say, "Turn to the right." The voice will talk and say, "Now turn to the left. Turn back to the right." And He will lead us and He will guide us if we will let Him do it. Don't wait to listen to the voice of God after you make the choice, after you make the wrong choice, after you make the wrong decision. Don't wait to have clarity come to your eyes after you make the wrong decision. But know that God will bring clarity to you right now, and God will speak to you right now while you're in the middle of the choices that you need to make. God will give you direction. And if you can't quite make out what He's saying, throw yourself at His feet and say, "God, close every door that you don't want me to go through. Open every door that you do. And no matter how much it hurts, close the door, God. No matter how much I want to go that way, if you don't want me there, close the door. Things are a little cloudy. Things are a little muddy. I can't quite make it out. I don't quite know what the right choice is. So God, I give myself to you. Help me make the right choice." And when we give ourselves to Him that way, so often there are things that we want and we pray about it, but God slams the door. I don't know why. It seems so good. It seems so right. But God said no. But you have to be willing to do that before you make those choices. Because our choices have a very wide reaching effect. They don't just affect us. They affect so many.
choices. If you're married, it affects your spouse. If not, it will affect your friends, your family, married, your children. Choices. Choices. The power of choice. Because just as detrimental are the wrong choices, is as powerful and glorious are the right choices. And just like the wrong choices can bring death and curse, the right choice can bring life and blessings. All kinds of things are going wrong, Pastor. Make the right choices. But I've been keep making them then. Just make the right choices no matter what it takes. And I'm here to tell you, according to the word of God, it will bring life and it will bring blessings. Oh, marriage is in the shambles. Start making the right choices and see what God will do for you overnight. I'm not sure which way to go. Give it to Him. He'll help you. My children are not doing well. Start making the right choices in your family and see what God would do. My job's not going. Start making the right choices on your job. No matter what that means or no matter what it takes. No matter who you have to forgive. No matter how much crow you have to eat. No matter how much shame you have to take. Make the right choices. And God says when you do, it'll bring life and it'll bring blessings into your life. If we'll make the right choice. I've come to turn the table on the devil tonight. I've come to turn the table on this world. You can turn the table on your life, on your marriage, on your situation, on everything by being determined to make the right choice. But the right choice will cause me to lose my job. I got news for you, Eve. You don't need that tree. God's put up a whole lot of other trees. And if you'll make the right choice, there's a lot of other trees out there. Eve. Oh, I wish somebody hear the preacher here tonight. Make the right choice. But the right choice, it might bring a little shame to me. Make the right choice. But the right choice is embarrassing. Make the right choice. But the right choice means I get less money. Make the right choice. And God will raise up a garden. God will raise up trees. God will bless. And God will give life if you'll make the right choice. Because as much power and condemnation and damnation is in the wrong choices, is there righteousness and glory in the right choices if we're willing to make them. I'm just going to mention this in closing. Certainly don't have time to touch on all of it. We know the story, Genesis 25, verse number 29, and Jacob cooking up some pottage. The Bible says Esau came out, he was faint. Let me tell you something. Life will always present opportunities to you to make choices. But you can still make the right choice. And life has a way of coming at us that encourages us to make the wrong choices. Now, we don't know how hungry Esau was. The Bible says he was faint. He may not have eaten for days. We don't know. But Jacob was famous for his pottage. He was known throughout all of the community. He made the best lentils on planet Earth. And out comes Esau. Sort of like my wife's chicken spaghetti. You smell it coming. Good stuff. Or her lasagna. Or her roast beef. Or her tilapia fish. Or any other meal she ever made. Oh, baby, you're a good cook, sweetie. Can't wait to get home and eat something tonight. He smelled that, And that old stomach began to gnaw at his backbone. Son, you need some of that. And the devil started talking to him. Boy, you'll never make it home. You'll die if you don't eat something. You better eat. Ask your brother, hey, man, can I have some of that good stuff? Sure, no problem. Verse 31, all it's going to take is your birthright. Esau said, behold, I am at the point that I will die. Now, whether he was or not, he was convinced he was. Satan had convinced him. I don't know how far out Jacob was. Jacob might have been a 2 days journey from the camp, from where they were. I don't know how far out Jacob was. But in Esau's mind, he was not going to make it from that point to the place of mom and dad. He wasn't going to get home. He was going to die in the wilderness. And he said to himself in 33, then swear to me you'll do this. In verse number 34, and Jacob, he got a, somewhere up in there. I can't see it here. But he said, I'm at the point of die. There it is. Verse number 32. He said, what profit shall this birthright do to me? He began to self-examine his own future. He began to look at his own tomorrows. And Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow is evil within itself. Worry about today. What happens when you worry about tomorrow? You open up the door for fear. You open up the door for doubt. Why? Because nobody knows what tomorrow holds. Nobody has certainty about tomorrow. Everybody's freaking out about tomorrow. How's the stock market going to do? How's the housing going to do? How's this going to do? Tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. He was worried about his future. He said, I'll never make it home. I better sell out and get what I can right now. I'm here to tell you, friend, that's what the world will deliver to your doorstep. That's what the devil will deliver to your doorstep. He will bring you hopelessness. He will bring you despair. And then he'll try to get you to reason. Well, I know it's not right, but I better do it for the sake of the family. I better do it for the sake of this. I better do it because of that. It is a lie from the pit of hell. Make the right choice. Esau, it's better to die with the birthright than to live without it. Because when he lost it, he despised it. I'm here to tell us here tonight, no matter what it brings, no matter what we've got to suffer, no matter how despondent it may look, make the right choice. Go the right path. Listen for the voice of God. Let God give you clarity. Let God give you direction and make the right choice. Let's stand to our feet and clap our hands to the Lord. He's a great God. He's a great God. He's a great God. He's a great God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. What did the prophet say? He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He said, it might seem evil to you to serve God. You might want to serve other gods. But as for me and my house, no matter what it means, no matter what it takes, no matter what the results, we're going to serve God. We're going to make the right choice. We're going to choose Jesus. Woo! Somebody shout, the right choice brings life and blessings. Shout it, the right choice brings life and blessings. Say, Jesus, help me make the right choice. The right choice. Praise the name of the Lord. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. It's not always easy to make the right choice, but it's always right.
And sometimes making the right choice may not make a lot of sense to you. But there's something deep down inside saying, just hold on. This is the right choice. Just stay the course. Stay with it. Hold on. Maintain. It's the right choice. It's the right thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Let's pray. Father, there's not a person in this building that doesn't want to make the right choice. But some of us here tonight, our minds are clouded. Our vision's not clear. And it's hard to hear your voice. And it's difficult to see the right choice. We've allowed ourselves to get caught up in our emotions, our wants, our desires, caught up in our anger, our envy, our covetousness. It's hard to make the right choice. So we come to you tonight out of fear and respect. And we throw ourselves at your feet because we don't want to make the wrong choice. We know, Lord, making the wrong choice can have very devastating consequences. Consequences that can linger for years, years and years. So we ask you, Lord, tonight, no matter how much it hurts, start closing doors. Shut them right in our face. Lord, if our foot's already through the threshold, smash it. Don't let us get through. We don't know what's right. So we ask you to help us. We want to make the right choice. And when you shut the door, Lord, we give you our word. We'll stand still instead of trying to pry it back open and force our way through. We've done that before. No, it hasn't been pretty. And some of us are here tonight. We've already made the wrong choice. We're already suffering. You spoke to us, but we didn't listen. You warned us, but we didn't heed it. You gave us everything that we needed to make the right choice, but we let our emotions, our carnality, our flesh got in the way, clouded our vision, deafened our ears, and we couldn't hear or see. And we made the wrong choice. But now it's so clear. And we hear you so vividly. And we ask you to forgive us. Be merciful. Help us to deal with the consequences. Bless our families and our children. Those that it may affect. And we make a promise to you today. We will make the right choice. We see the damage. We see the consequences. We're cast out of the garden. But we will till the ground though the sweat's on our brow. And we will birth the Messiah no matter what it takes. We will start making the right choices. And we pray, God, as we make these choices, that life will return, blessings will return. Our families will be blessed. Our jobs, our finances, our health, all things will be blessed of you. And life will be given. And we will start walking that path that you have ordained for us. We've come to make the right choice. Because we have learned in your word that the right choice can bring blessings, just like the wrong choice can bring curse. And the right choices can change things, put us back on the path we're supposed to be, put us back under your blessings, back under your glory, that our families might be safe, our ministry secure, our tomorrow's in your hands. And we pray this tonight as individuals, and we pray it as a church unto you, Father. Help us make the right choice. And everybody say amen. Will you lift your hands to the Lord? Just lift them towards heaven right now. That's it. Every hand lifted towards heaven. And just begin to love him. And while you begin to love him, you're going to begin to feel his power touch you. You're going to begin to feel his glory is going to descend. Why? Because while you worship him, condemnation is going to leave. Condemnation from the wrong choices is going to go. God is going to replace it with his love. He's going to replace it with his glory. He's going to chase the devil out of your life, the accuser and the condemner. And he's going to walk into your life with blessings. He's going to come into your life with glory. He's going to begin to change things no matter where you find yourself right now. No matter what position in life you may be, things are going to begin to change for you because you have made a decision to make the right choices in him. Just receive that right now. Receive it right now. Father, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. We receive your blessings into our life. We receive life into us. We receive your life into us, your blessings upon us in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Lord. We praise you for it, Lord. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's it. Some of you lived under condemnation for so long that it's hard for you to receive the blessings of the Lord. Come on, push that condemnation out of your life. Feel God's touch. Feel his love for you right now. Feel his forgiveness for you right now. He's a loving God. He's raised many other trees. Begin to partake of their fruit. Begin to walk in the path of light. Begin to let God direct your path. Father, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. We need you. We receive your forgiveness in our life. We receive your blessings upon us, oh God. Hallelujah. We magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're a wonderful God. You're a wonderful God. You're a mighty God. Hallelujah. We bless you. 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 And everyone say, I choose life. Say, I choose life. Say, I choose blessings. Amen. Praise God. I love you. Greatest people in the world.